This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Today I want to think about this community of faith, this church family, and our place in it as we head into 2022. Right at the moment, we're in 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, and I just wanted to introduce you to Ellie. Ellie, come up and say hello. And just to talk to us about her experience of joining in with the prayer and fasting. We're going to read hear from Ellie, then we're going to read our vision statement, and then I'm going to look at John chapter 20, which unwrap a little bit of what Jesus commissions the disciples to do in John 20. And then we're going to finish by sharing communion together as an act of commitment to one another and to what Jesus calls us to. That communion which draws us back to the cross and also to the resurrection, to Friday and to Sunday, if you like. A Friday full of mourning and a Sunday full of amazing possibilities, which is the title for my talk today. But before we go into that, let's just hear from Ellie. Hi,
morning.
Thank you for sharing. So just tell us about the prayer and fasting. I'm sure you launched into it with gusto. How did you engage with, what did you think when you saw that we were going to do this, and how did you decide to engage with it?
So for me, I'm fasting Instagram and Facebook. I found that I got a bit
Instagram
distracted
Facebook.
By it before we started this. And yeah, that's been helpful to focus more on prayer and work without distractions. So basically what I've been doing is spending time with God intentionally in the morning on most days. And just I make sure that I have a quiet environment without distractions, like I turn off my phone or even maybe shut the curtains again, light a candle, and then like start by asking the Holy Spirit to lead me and just chat with Jesus like he's my best friend and tell him what's been going on for me, how I feel about things. And then I will read a chapter in John, usually, and yeah, just kind of see what stands out to me. And if the Holy Spirit highlights something, then talk with Jesus about that or pray for other people if they come to mind.
Brilliant. And how much are you missing Instagram and Facebook?
Not too badly, I have to say, but a bad side effect of this is I'm now reading the news more often, which is probably not best alternative. But yeah, it's been going okay, actually.
You can survive without
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I've set myself a challenge for 3 weeks, but it's going okay so far. Yeah.
Brilliant, good stuff. And so when you've been, how have you been reading the Bible? Just reading it in the usual way? I think you said you try a different translation.
Yeah, so I felt drawn to the New Living Translation for John this time, and I found that really inspiring, actually, reading it in a more simpler language. And I've also been using an online commentary by David Guzik. It's called Enduring Word. And yeah, so I feel like that's helped me to notice things that I usually wouldn't always pay more attention to.
Brilliant. And just, you said you wait for the Holy Spirit to maybe to raise something in your thinking about to pray for. Is there anything you can tell us about, any particular thing?
So I think what stood out to me most is that Jesus is full of grace and truth, and I've really noticed how he confronted the Jewish leaders so boldly when they were just thinking about following the law rather than loving people, and just to see how he set boundaries like in every chapter with different people, that's been really inspiring to me, and how he confronted that.
Yeah. Jesus, the boundary setter. Excellent. Thank you, Ellie. I'm going to come back to you in a minute just to ask you to read our vision statement as we switch subjects. So that just if you haven't managed to connect with our 21 days of prayer and fasting, then there's still a week left. Do join in as we read through John together and pray together. And this last week, we've been contemplating. So let's turn our attention to the life of the church over the coming year. Let's remind ourselves of our vision statement. Ellie, would you like to read it out for us?
Sure. We believe God has called us to establish a biblically based community of faith in Leeds. We will worship God, pray, communicate his love and mercy to all people, and commit to living out our faith in Jesus in a creative and contemporary way. and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that there is good news for this generation in the kingdom of God, and we long to share that news, particularly in Headingley and Leeds. We aim to make, train, and equip followers of Jesus to be effective in the extending of God's kingdom, to develop leaders, to plant new churches, to contribute to the blessing of the whole church, and to minister with the poor in practical ways.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ellie. Thanks very much. So, different parts of that vision statement will resonate with different people. And some of the statements within the statement mean different things to different people. And a lot of people say, that's not a vision statement. A vision statement should be three words or something. Okay, I'm not sure what it is then, but it's there to keep us on track over the years. We've had something similar to that for 20-odd years, and it keeps us on track with what we're doing. And this year, I think we can mourn our losses and be amazed at God's possibilities. Let me just think about mourning our losses. It's been a really difficult couple of years. We all know that. And our perceptions of life and death have changed or been informed in new and disturbing ways, whether it's the endless counts on the news every night or whether it's people you know going through COVID or some of the implications on that, maybe losing their business or whatever. There's lots of terrible restrictions placed on people, and we've missed celebrations, we've missed occasions, we've missed career opportunities, student life, loads of growing up experiences, so much loss. And as a church, we've lost 2 years' worth of progress with Vineyard House. I know that's pragmatic in relation to the rest of the things, but it really is a sad thing. It's tough for us to do community as a church family without a building to call our home that we can use properly. And even if you don't have a specific loss to mourn, you are part of a community, you're part of a society where a lot of people are in a state of grief and are mourning. That's part of our human experience, and it's not to be sidestepped. You know, if you're mourning, you're in the Friday of the Easter experience. That's okay. That may be the case for some time. And you're welcome here, if that's where you are. If you need support, please talk with your growth group. Please check out our resources. It won't always be Friday. It won't always be morning. Sunday is coming. Or as the psalmist says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So we mourn our losses, but we can also be amazed at God's possibilities for the year. And I want to read a scene from John chapter 20. So if I'm sure those of you at home have got a Bible at hand, if you want to find John 20, there are Bibles in the pews, NIV translations, or if in doubt, you can. If none of those work, you can go to your device, find John chapter 20. In looking ahead to 2022, I'm not particularly focused on one thing this year. There's not one thing that we're going to do in that sense. I think it's more like, when I was thinking and praying about this, I felt it was more like the Sunday as opposed to the Friday, a time full of amazing possibilities as we realize that Jesus did die to save us, but then he broke the power of death and he's raised to new life. And in John chapter 20, if you haven't got a Bible, by the way, stick your hand up in the air and Hannah will give you one. In John 20, the amazing possibilities haven't yet dawned on the young men and women who are Jesus' disciples. They've given up everything to follow him. They've given their hearts and their souls as well as their livelihoods to their Messiah. And they've had to watch as their leader and master has been brutally executed and taken from them. They didn't know what was going on. They're disappointed, they're depressed, they're afraid, they are mourning. And they're also full of shame because they have betrayed Jesus. So this is John's account. John writing probably about 50 years after all this happened, writing to his church and putting down in writing his memories and the stories that he's been telling for decades about his time with Jesus. And he recounts this encounter after the resurrection. John chapter 20, we'll start at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I bet they were. Can you imagine what that must have been like? What was that song we were singing? "Look full on his beautiful face." Can you imagine them thinking they'd never see him again? And then, bang, he's in front of them. Wow. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Probably because he didn't listen the first time. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We'll come back to that. And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. I bet he was. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." They needed to hear that. And then he turned to Thomas. Can you imagine? Turned to Thomas. And he said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right. And it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. This passage is bookended by amazing possibilities. And when we catch that vision of Jesus, we are stirred to serve and we are encouraged to give and we are inspired to sacrifice. And Jesus gives us a vision that's worthy of all of that. In the center of the chapter is this story of Jesus' beautiful encounter with Thomas. For some reason, he'd been missing first time round. I don't know what he got called out to, but I bet he regrets that. And from reading about him, we know he's a loyal, committed, brave follower of Jesus who is just horrified at what's happened. He's deep in his grief and his loss. And we can feel that when we see what he says to his friends. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's sort of four cries of pain and mourning. To see the marks, to put my finger in the nail wounds, put my hand in Jesus' side, I will not believe. Four sort of, "This hurts, I'm in pain." And if you are experiencing loss or grief, speak it out to Jesus. It's okay. And when we share communion, bring your mourning to him. And then what happens? Jesus appears, verse 27, and he stands in front of Thomas. Can you imagine the tension in the room when that happened? And the miraculous appearing through the locked door, and then Jesus turns to Thomas, and he catches each other's eye. And can you imagine? And he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and touch my side. Stop doubting and believe. Four healing words for four cries of pain. See, put your finger here, put your hand in my side, believe. It's a wonderful, profound healing moment for Thomas and for those watching and for us contemplating. So we mourn our losses like Thomas did, and we receive Jesus' healing, and then we can also be amazed at God's possibilities for this year. So when Jesus appears to the disciples, he starts saying things to them which just lift their eyes up, their heads up, and they begin to see an amazing horizon, a landscape decked with promises and possibilities. He casts a vision which transforms the rest of their lives. Verse 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. So, he says, the Father sent me. What does that mean? Jesus was sent to save the world. Oh, is that all? To bring good news of God's grace and salvation, to heal the sick, to set the prisoner free, to feed the hungry, to be God with us, Emmanuel, bringing light and life and joy and hope and establishing his kingdom. And speaking a new creation into being in our lives and in our world. That's what he was sent for. And he then says, that's your job now. So send I you. I never really got my head around that. That cosmic mission that Jesus was given, he's given to us, to you, and to me. When John writes these words, he has Jesus addressing them very literally to the people in the room. But he's also wondering what they were thinking at that point, mourning their loss. They're thinking about going back fishing, and now they're being told they're taking on Jesus' world-changing mission. And you can picture Jesus looking sort of over the shoulders of the disciples to the congregation that John led in his church. A generation or so later. And he's saying to them, so send I you. And then if you look carefully, and you can see Jesus looking over the shoulders of the disciples, over the shoulders of the congregation that John was leading, through the turbulent millennia, speaking to you and to me, and saying, I am sending you. And breathing his Holy Spirit into our lives, sending us. Wow. You might have been worrying about Leeds losing to Newcastle last night or what to have for lunch. And now I'm telling you, you're on a cosmic world-changing mission. He's sending you. What does it look like? Verse 30. John finishes off this little account, and he says, it's probably his original ending in a way to the book. He says, Jesus performed many other signs. As Helen explained to us the other day, there are seven big signs that are shown that he writes about, and he structures his book around, his biography around. He said, Jesus performed many other signs, but I've written these down so that you can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. Abundant life, life in all its fullness, eternal life in his name. So the Father who sent Jesus, who accomplished his mission by being and by performing these signs, seven of which we know are recorded there and the others in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're there so that we will believe him, that not just we will believe him, but others will believe, come to believe in Jesus and receive life. Jesus is sent by the Father to save us and establish the kingdom of God. And he does it by living a life full of amazing possibilities as he brings life and hope and healing to those around him. And Jesus tells people and he leads them into salvation. And he turns water into wine and he heals the sick and he feeds the hungry. And he sets people free from mental and spiritual imprisonment and darkness. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit and sent to do the same. To share the good news about Jesus, to give people signs that help them see Jesus. Because when people meet Jesus, he does amazing things in their lives. He gives them abundant life. In the vineyard, we're a happy part of an overarching vision that belongs to the Vineyard nationally, which captures this in slightly different words. And it says, to extend the kingdom together everywhere and in every way. And our part in that is primarily expressed through Headingley and Leeds, not exclusively, but primarily. I believe, brothers and sisters, that God is on the move in our time, even through the pandemic, especially through the pandemic. And I believe that the possibilities with him are amazing. So we look out for what God is doing and we join in. And we saw some of that in that 2021 video, didn't we? We've probably forgotten half of it. And I believe God wants to amaze us with possibilities and to double it up in 2022. But it's not just about watching the video. This is not about going off to the cinema to watch somebody else in action. We get to play the parts. We are the actors in the film. So the question is, what part do you want to play, brothers and sisters? How do we put up signs that point people to Jesus? When we come together in our small groups, or on Sundays, or on walks around Yorkshire, let's have fun and laughter. That was the predominant result of Jesus' first sign, 120 gallons of wine. Fun and laughter. Let's, as well as coming alongside those who mourn, let's throw the best parties. That's why we start the Sunday gathering at 11, not 11:30, because we're trying to encourage you to gather and have some fun and laughter with your brothers and sisters in the cafes or out in the garden or wherever. It's a crucial part of our life-giving, part of our life together. You know, as people walk past on a Sunday morning, I go and sit in the cafe opposite in the hour before the worship starts, and I'm watching. And those of you who have small groups meeting in your home, your neighbors are watching the people parking up every week and walking, tramping in and out of your house, and they're saying, "What's going on here?" It's a sign. What's going on? Why do these people do these things? They all seem to be very different, these people, young and old and fat and thin and rich and poor and black and white. Why do they do this together? They seem to be having a good time. Do you remember the question that in the wedding, where the wedding manager says, "How come you're giving the best wine at the end?" You can imagine everybody sort of singing and it being a bit raucous. And he's saying, "You're bringing out the 120 gallons of the best wine now." I think Jesus likes us to have a great time with each other. It's a sign. He brings life and joy and fun. Let's also tell people the story of Jesus and the good news that he came to save us and give us life. It's a wonderful story that people want to hear. They want to hear what he's doing in your life. That's why it's called good news. So you can say to your friend, "I'm not very good at explaining why I believe what I do. But I'll go with you to, would you like to come with me and we'll go to Alpha and somebody better than me will explain and we can have an open discussion." You can be the sign too. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities to share your faith at work or with a colleague or with a neighbor. You can expect the Holy Spirit to give you a word of wisdom in that tricky situation where you're not quite sure what to do. You know, you can be in a difficult place at work. How do I deal with this conundrum or this child or whatever it is? And the Holy Spirit can speak a word of wisdom. Or or a word of knowledge which just unlocks somebody's life. Like we illustrated last week, that word that Alison shared a little while ago, that thing about the gate with the number 69 on it, just opens something up for somebody. You know, often when we share those types of word of knowledge, the response I get is, what, God knows about that? You know, he unlocks things. When somebody's ill or injured near you, ask them whether or not you can pray for them. God does heal today. It's one of the amazing possibilities. And if you don't know what to do, if you're not familiar with praying for the sick, ask your growth group to do some training on it, or look at some of the resources for the five-step prayer model on the website, or join Jerry and Pauline in their Healing on the Streets group, where they do this out there outside Headingley Central. For those of you who are online, Headingley Central. I remember I was in my... I'm going to take a few couple of minutes. I was in my 20s when Alison and I first encountered the Vineyard. And I was just reminded when I was preparing this of a time back, it was a long time ago, before most of you were twinkles in your parents' eyes. And there was a conference here in Leeds I think they called it Signs and Wonders Conference. It was about praying for the sick and casting out demons and all that. And it was at St. George's, or at least the meeting I remember was at St. George's. And I remember it just clicked. Well, I can do this. I can pray for the sick. And I remember clambering over the pews. I've been a Christian for decades by then. Even, you know, I became a Christian when I was a child. And yeah, I thought, I'm allowed to do this, to pray for the sick, to cast out demons, to set people free, even me. I just got hooked. I was sold. And in my back of my Bible, I was a good Bible-carrying, because I don't do that so much these days, but I used to have my Bible with me everywhere. And in the back, I wrote down 1 to 100. And every time I prayed for somebody, I wrote down what happened. So it's sort of like I deal with God. I said, I'll pray for 100 people and see what happens. And I stopped counting after about 10 or 20. It's just like peanuts. You just can't stop eating them. You just keep going. And I'd seen enough by then to know God can heal. If your heart is for families, talk to Jamie about the Child Contact Centre and volunteering there. We now take referrals from all over, North Yorkshire, Bradford, as well as Leeds, and it's an amazing sign. Is the Holy Spirit stirring a desire in you to minister with the poor? Well, how about talk to Liz about joining the Lantern team? Today is the first day they're joining with Cornerstone Baptist Church, the team. We're doing a joint venture with them, feeding and ministering to people who live on the street around Headingley. And there's other amazing possibilities of seeing God at work amongst the children, amongst the young people, who in particular have paid a high price for the last couple of years. But the real answers to the mental health challenges and the complications of growing up in a post-pandemic world are met by an encounter with Jesus. And this year, I believe that some of you, maybe the ones here, maybe somebody online, will receive a calling to plant churches. Or a church. Recreating what happens here in a whole unique way somewhere else. I don't know if any of you have noticed what's going on in Morley under the leadership of Josh McLaren. Wonderful stuff. Here are just some examples, some of God's amazing possibilities. I'm coming to the end. The foundation for all this, underpinning all this, looking at these amazing possibilities, underpinning it is prayer, which is what we've been doing particularly over these 3 weeks. And tonight, we're going to pray together here. And I need you to be there to pray and to prophesy and to allow the Lord to speak through you into what we're doing. They're hugely important times for us, to helping us set direction and understand what God's doing. But praying generally, praying on your own, praying in your groups, praying in church, praying for revival, prayer is essential to everything that we're doing. Another foundation is your giving, your regular sacrificial giving to the church. Doing church costs money, and so setting up signs, if you like, costs money. There's a cost involved in all of this. So the regular sacrificial giving is part of seeing those amazing possibilities come to fruition. So Alice and I would love you to join us in mourning our losses, but also being amazed at God's possibilities. It's going to be an exciting year. Will you dive into this kingdom adventure with us? Perhaps somewhat recklessly, not terribly sensibly, but just letting God push you off the edge into something and see what amazing things he does. We'll invite the Holy Spirit to come, and we'll be sent out to be signs and messengers for Jesus Christ. We'll see the sick healed and families restored and the hungry fed and the oppressed set free and the sinner forgiven. And we will see people coming and being baptized again. And our small groups during the week and this place on Sundays will be full of people who've been rescued and forgiven and getting healed and being saved and worshiping God and mourning our losses, but also being amazed at his possibilities. Would you join with us? I hope you will. Let's commit all that to him as we share communion together.